I am not dressed this way to dishonor the formalness of lectureship. I am dressed this way to make a point. Everything you see on my person is fair trade certified, clothing and or otherwise has to do with human rights. Everything from my shoes to this shirt to this shirt to the bracelets to my glasses to my purses, my earrings, all of it. And so, but I want you to know that the formal dress clothes I've been wearing this whole week were also fair trade certified and in no way endangered anyone's human rights. That having been said, we're going to talk today about what you as everyday Christians can do to be a resistor. Because we've talked so far about two things. First, we've talked about what we as a church, how I need to get contacts. But I don't like putting things in my eye. We've talked about how we as a church have the memory of Israel, have the memory of Micah's audience instead of the memory of God. How we have forgotten that things like starvation and famine and ethnic cleansing and genocide, all of these things are not news. They are old news. That's right. They are in Scripture. And the Bible has already pointed out to us and made it quite clear that we have a calling to do something about that. And the second day, we talked about exactly what that calling was. We talked about that there are four types of choices, that you as an individual and we as a church can make when we are facing humanitarian emergencies or human rights atrocities. They are, you can either be a victim, you can be a... Or you can be a, and what do we want to be? That's right, we want to be resistors, ladies and gentlemen. There is a difference between not being responsible for the oppression of somebody else and for being actively involved in rescuing people from oppression. There's a difference. And so today, we're going to talk about exactly what that means, because you're obviously all thinking, I don't know what she's been eating, drinking, maybe smoking, but I'm not moving to Africa because I like hot water. I do too. And I don't know what you guys think I'm asking you to do, but I don't want all of you to grow up and to be cool, but I'm not asking all of you to move to a foreign country. I'm not asking all of you, I'm not asking all of you to become human rights lawyers or to work for Amnesty International or to sell everything you own and move away to a faraway land or to give everything you own to the poor and live on the streets in order that you may better understand their predicament. It's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to do what everyday Christians can do to make a difference. And that's what we're going to talk about today. There are four things that you, as everyday Christians, can do to make a difference, to be resistors. And the first thing that you can do is stay informed. Stay informed. How many of you know which continent in the world has more countries? Guesses? Yay. No, sorry. Africa. Yay. If I asked you how many countries were in the Middle East, could you tell me? Somebody's had Dr. Coates. If I asked you who bombed Syria 2 days ago, who could tell me? That's right. And if I asked you if any other Arab states have come to Syria's defense, who could answer my question? Maybe. The answer is none. No Arab countries have come to the defense of Syria after having been bombed by Israel. What does that have to do with this? Probably nothing. But it does have to do with one thing, that there is information available to all of you about all the countries in the world that you probably aren't making use of. And so the first step in being a resistor is being informed. Because what is one of the first things that governments do when they are trying to keep their people from owning their own rights? They start what? Anybody? That's right. They start censoring information. be thankful, be happy, be glad that you live in a place where we do not censor your information. The first thing that you need to do is to be informed. The reason why is twofold. The first is because, as a Christian, I think that if I hold out my shirt and say, "Invisible children," every one of you should at least know what I'm talking about. And if you don't know, if I should say Northern Uganda, you guys should be able to tell me something that's going on there, because it's a humanitarian emergency. If I mention a country, Zimbabwe, can anybody tell me the president? Thank you. That's right. Why should we know that? Because that is a country where there's humanitarian emergencies going on right now. Who can name me a country that oppresses Christians? Come on, guys, talk to me. That's right. What else? Yes, they do. Who else? That's right. Anybody else? It's on the news. Starts with an S. Ends with Dan. Thank you. See what I mean? There are humanitarian emergencies happening all around you, and you have no idea what they are or what they're about. How are you going to help? How are you going to make conscious decisions if you don't even know what you should be making conscious decisions about? Do you want to just like pass them out like down the row?
Sure thing.
So the first thing, again, that you can do is stay informed. And that involves a number of things. The first thing is what we talked about yesterday. Remember, we talked about that in the original Hebrew, the imperative to do justice in Micah means not just to be fair, but to seek out situations of injustice. That's why I think it is biblically appropriate to ask us as a Christian people, as a church, to stay informed, because we need to seek out and search out areas, places, locations, countries where there are problems or situations that need to be remedied. So I don't feel at all guilty or bad for asking you to watch the news, for asking you to read up on countries, for asking you to do your best to make all of the resources around you work for you. Make your television work, make your TiVo work for you. Make your internet work for you, make your email work for you. Does that sound like such a bad idea? Does it sound like I'm asking too much? Does anybody think I'm asking too much? I don't think so. I mean, if you do, I'm not going to change my lesson plan. But, but, for example, Northern Uganda, can you tell me what's going on? Can you? Close. Thank you. Who knows what the LRA is? Who can tell me what the Lord's Resistance Army does? And why do they kidnap children to be soldiers? Who has no idea what we're talking about? Please raise your hand if you have no idea what we're talking about. Awesome, because now you're about to find out. I want you guys to watch this. How many of you knew there was a war in Uganda? How many of you didn't know? How many of you know who Joseph Kony is? On the video you've just seen were 68,000 young people ages 18 to 25 who not only know who Joseph Kony is, but think he's got to go. This video was documentation of 68,000 voting-aged 18 to 25-year-old people who were informed, and because they were informed, decided it was time to make a change. A few years ago, some friends of mine from USC who were filming students went down to Sudan because they thought that they would find a war zone, much like Bosnia during the Milosevic era. But when they arrived, they found what any international relations person could have told you. It's an empty desert. There wasn't anything there for them to film. And so they were sitting around with their cameras going, what should we do? There's a bird. We're not going to get a good grade in our final if we videotape a bird. What are we going to do? And they hear about the night commuters. And they think, well, that sounds interesting. Let's go find out about the night commuters. So they get in their little Jeep, and they drive over. For those of you who don't know, the Sudan is here, and Uganda is here. They drive across the border from southern Sudan into northern Uganda, and imagine their surprise when they find out that every single night, the children of northern Uganda get up before dusk and walk miles and miles and miles into cities, into warehouses and safe houses surrounded by armies so that they can avoid being kidnapped and forcibly conscripted into the LRA's army. Because the LRA is waging a war against the government but has no popular support for the people. And it's being funded by the monies from another neighboring government. And so these children were caught in the middle. And while the people of Uganda called them the night commuters, the filmmakers called them the invisible children. Because for 20 years, this had been happening. And for 20 years, the children were invisible to the rest of the world. But not anymore. My friends made a documentary, and it's called Invisible Children. They've shown it to Congress. They've shown it to schools. It's been here screened. It's been all over the country. It's been screened by the UN. It's been screened by everybody you can think of. It's been screened by churches and youth groups and schools across the country. And after a while, being informed wasn't enough. You see, the reason I ask you to be informed is because it leads to number two, and that's act on what you believe. We asked the people who watch the Invisible Children video, who care about these poor children, to, you know what? To be displaced just like them. For one night, we said, hey, if these little kids have to sleep outside back to back to back to back to back like sardines in warehouses, on people's front doors, in caves, then we're going to do it too. We're going to do it too. Last year we had the global night commute, and this year we had Displace Me, where we asked for people across the country to go to 15 selected cities in the United States and sleep outside in the dirt, just like the children of Uganda do. One American sleeping in the streets for one Ugandan sleeping in the streets. One of us displaced for one night for people who've been displaced for 20 years. And to the surprise and shock of adults everywhere, 68,000 young people were willing to do it. Did you see those girls in their prom dresses? I ran the LA, I was on the street team and helped run the LA Displace Me. It was prom night in Santa Monica and in Malibu. But believe it or not, those young men and women had no problem sleeping in the dirt in the rain in their prom dresses and tuxes because they were informed enough to believe that information wasn't enough anymore. Does that make sense? Staying informed leads to action, because when you're informed, a natural outgrowth of information like this is to do something about it. So every one of these kids went and slept outside in the dirt, and all they were allowed to bring was a sleeping bag, some crackers, a bottle of water, and a picture. Each one of them wrote a letter to Congress. Each person who went to this event had to write a letter to their respective representatives, and that's what you saw the boxes were for. And then, afterwards, we took all of those letters of action to Congress. And I want you to see what happens when a group of young people make a difference. And for those of you who are even younger than me, that's supposed to make fun of AC/DC. I'm just saying. I show you this not as the only thing that you should ever do or the only organization that matters in the universe, but as an example of what happens when a few young men, and this is because most of the people in my audience are young, when a few young people decided that enough was enough was enough. And it started with a movie, and now it's a multi-million dollar nonprofit run by people ages 25 to 30. The new microfinancing program is now being run by an ACU alum. And the people in Congressional Hall and under the Pink Dome and the White House are listening closely. But it all started because they became informed. When they showed up in the Sudan, they didn't even know there was a war in Uganda. And look at them now. Look at you now. Look at everybody who's seen this movie now. If you look at the packets that I've handed out to you, this is my stepping stone for you that I promised would come on the third day of class. This is me helping you begin to stay informed. Verses, books, and movies that will help you in your quest, should you choose to accept it. If not, that will self-destruct in 30 seconds. To become more socially aware. I urge and encourage you, not just because I said so, or because I have a cool shirt on, or because they have cool hats or whatever, but because I think Scripture says so. I think the call to do justice, to seek out areas of injustice, begins with finding out where those are and what you can do about it. Obviously, step one is learn. Become informed. The second step, of course, being act on what you believe in. And that means no matter what people believe, no matter what people say to you, about you, around you, I think that the scripture that means the most to me in this area is, do not conform to the pattern of this world, church. Do not conform to people who tell you that you are behaving ridiculously, or that you're taking things too seriously, or that you need to calm down just a little bit, or that whatever your convictions are just a bit too ridiculous for them. I don't think that was the message of Micah to the Israelites, and it's definitely not the message of the gospel to the church. Just like we talked about yesterday, the Lord has proclaimed the day of Jubilee every day from now on until the end of time. And so the third thing that you can do, I love it how you guys like write it down when I say it, because like my dog doesn't even do what I say. This is awesome. No, the third thing you can do is don't just act on what you believe, but spend your money on what you believe in. Ha ha, this is America. And in America, if anything means anything, it's the almighty dollar. So what I'm asking you guys to do is to learn to be more responsible consumers. Who knows what a blood diamond is? Who doesn't? Who knows what fair trade coffee is? Who doesn't? Who knows if Starbucks is fair trade coffee? Who shops at Walmart? Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, who doesn't? Ah, good for you. I'm just kidding. My brother still shops at Walmart, so don't worry about it. If you're on the side of the don't listen to me, then hang out with my brother, because he definitely doesn't. Just kidding. Yeah, let's talk about the almighty dollar for a second. You guys ready to talk about the almighty dollar? Because this is where it's going to hurt. I mean, if you're not ready for some serious ouch, then I suggest you get closer to the end of the rows, because this is not going to be comfortable. Let's start with my shoes. My shoes are called Toms. I'd take them off for you, but it rained, and so, like, that would be really gross. But they're called Toms. And Toms Shoes is a company that for every pair of shoes that you buy... Stop doing that. Okay. For every pair of shoes that you buy, they will send one to a child in need in another country. And every few months, they change the drop country. And so instead of buying a pair of shoes that helps no one, you can buy a pair of shoes, this isn't working, that helps someone. Is it going to go away? Just ignore that. How do you make it go away? That's really annoying. That's why I bring my brother everywhere I go. My jeans are made by, sadly enough, a popular American rapper. But they're made in America. They are union certified, and they are made without sweatshop conditions, and all the pollution that comes from their factory goes into a biodome on the roof of the factory that turns it into a little greenhouse. Isn't that cute? They don't add any pollution whatsoever to the environment. The shirt that I'm wearing came from Invisible Children. The bracelets that I have were made for me by various people in camps across the country, across the world. My earrings from a fair trade shop, Tanzania. You can choose with your dollar what to buy and what not to buy. Now, if you thought that I was going to give you a list of stores where you shouldn't shop, that would defeat the purpose, because then you wouldn't be doing the work. I'm not here to do your homework. I'm here to tell you what your homework assignment is. And your homework assignment is to decide how to vote with your dollar. I'm going to give you a little sweatshop quiz. Everybody ready for the sweatshop quiz? Anybody who doesn't want to take the sweatshop quiz? Raise your hand if you... I'm going to name off a store, and if you think they have sweatshops, I want you to raise your hand. And then I will tell you if they do or if they don't. Everyone understand the rules? If you think they have a sweatshop, hands in the air. Old Navy. Yes, they do. I want to see more hands. Banana Republic? Come on, guys. They're owned by the same company. Hands up. Gap? Ralph Lauren? Hands down. No, they don't. Nike? Ha 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 ha. Good job. Adidas? Nope. Versace. Good job. Armani? Yes. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Gucci? Nope. Nope, nope, nope. New Balance? That's tricky, huh? Everyone's like, oh, I don't know about that, guys. New Balance, anyone? Nope, no sweatshops for New Balance. Everyone's like, oh, thank goodness. Because you already took out my Jordans. What am I supposed to wear now? Crocs? Crocs? Hands? No sweatshops. JanSport. Anybody know what JanSport is? Okay. That's right. Look at your backpack, people. Look at the backpack. JanSport. Liz Claiborne. Let's see the hands. Shame, shame. And my mom was really upset about that one, let me tell you. Liz Claiborne, sweatshops. Nine West? Nope. See? See? Information is key, guys. Information, it makes it really easy to shop at the mall, or difficult if you live in Abilene where there's like five stores. What about, what's that line of clothing they sell at Walmart? Is it Kathy Lee? Is that right? Who thinks Kathy Lee has sweatshops? Yeah. Yeah, they do. And let me tell you another little secret about Walmart. Because Walmart is the number one seller of, like, almost all domestic products in the U.S., like Johnson & Johnson, for example. Walmart is the number one distributor of all these products. A lot of these companies actually outsource to Walmart their labor. So Johnson & Johnson half the time doesn't make the products that Johnson & Johnson sells or in Walmart stores. They don't bottle them or make it or whatever you want to call it. Walmart makes them, bottles them, and sells them. And how many of you think that Walmart has sweatshops? If everyone's hand in this room is not up, I'm going to turn around and count to four and give you another chance. Because yes, they do. Vote with your dollar. Yes, sir. And I'm glad you brought that up. And I think a couple of you were just in class with me, I think, and so you've already heard this. But there is a difference between not paying the same wage we pay in America and between a real, actual sweatshop. For example, Uganda, a living wage might be the equivalent of $1.25 a day. If we pay them $1.25 a day, and we give them conscious working conditions, we don't abuse them, they're not chained to the wall, just because they make less than minimum wage, is that a sweatshop? No, it's not. Because if you pay them more than what their economy labels as the fair market value of that labor, you are actually setting them up for a world of hurt. Because that's not how much their labor is worth in that economy. Does that make sense? You can't disrupt an entire economic scheme by paying one person for their labor way more than the market value in that particular, that a living wage in that particular country is. I'm not saying that because we pay $8 for a pair of shoes that they should subsequently make the same amount of money that an American would make. Why? Because the cost of living in Uganda is not $40,000 a year. And the poverty line is not the same as it is in Santa Monica or whatever. Nothing's the same as it is in Santa Monica. Take my word for it. So you have to be really careful when you're trying to figure out what's a sweatshop and what's not. And so you're right. It can be a gray area. But if you stay informed about the difference between fair trade and free trade, about the difference between a living wage and a sweatshop wage, then the choices become easier. And there are organizations like sweatshopwatch.org which help you make informed consumer decisions. So we've already talked about our clothes, right? What else? So that's sweatshopwatch.org. Yes, ma'am. Sweatshopwatch.org. You can also read a fantastic book that I believe is on the list called Out of the Closet by Juliet Shore, A New Ethic for Some Clothing, whatever. Yeah. In the Closet, Cleaning Out the Closet by Juliet Shore. It's on your list of books. And she will explain to you the difference between sweatshop wages and non-sweatshop wages and what a living wage is. And like Linda, I'm sure, could tell you that, that these are decisions that go into microfinancing projects when she decides how much money we're going to pay the women who make her microfinancing bags in India. There's a difference between a sweatshop wage and a living wage. And so we have to be careful. Part of being an informed consumer, acting on that, and voting with your dollar is to not be a sensationalist, right? Because when we say things that are not true, there goes our credibility right out the window, right? When we talk about, when we make a big deal out of sweatshops that aren't really sweatshops, then when we become the boy who cries wolf. And when there really is a problem that we need to deal with, nobody's listening, right? Nobody's listening. What about, we're going to still play the quiz, what about Disney? Sweatshops or no sweatshops? Raise those hands, people. I'm sorry to tell you. Shame, shame, shame on Disney. Selling children's movies and everything. Yeah, hands up. Sweatshops. Thailand, Bangladesh, Burma. Think before you buy. That's not asking a lot. At least I don't think it is. I mean, maybe it is for Americans who don't want to do anything unless it takes effort. And that's the reason I didn't make a list for you. That's the reason why I didn't say, here are the stores that I personally have approved for you to shop at. A, because I am not that cool. And B, because that's not my job. That's your job. And part of you developing a social ethic is doing that research for yourself. Because if my class over the past couple of days and today has meant nothing, then it has to at least mean this. That social justice is not a hobby. It is not a pastime. It is not a if you feel like it. It is a social ethic, maybe. Maybe. It's a lifestyle. A Christian lifestyle involves a lifestyle of social justice. And so as part of that lifestyle, you have got to do this on your own. You have to be willing to go the extra mile to find out. Yes, I'm a resource. Yes, there are lots of resources in this room who could answer your questions. Yes, if you send me an email, which is inside that packet, I will answer your questions and help find you resources that you need. But I want to see if you are willing to do that. We should see the church as a body of people who are willing to help us make choices together and who are willing to instruct us and teach us on the path. We should not see the church or lectureship or anybody else here as someone who's going to do all the work for you. Because if somebody does all the work for you, then did you really make a choice? Are you really all that informed? I mean, I'm young, so I probably don't know. I don't know everything. In fact, I don't know anything much. But I do know that making a choice is the biggest part of what's going on here. We've talked about our clothes. We've got 15 minutes. Let's talk about a few other things that we can vote for with the almighty dollar. Everybody who's married or engaged, please raise your left hand for me up in the air. I want to see those diamonds, especially the ladies. Now, keep them up, keep them up. Now, if you are 100% positive that the diamond on your hand is not a blood diamond, keep it up. You're welcome. Who knows what a blood diamond is? And since I'm sure you're all tired of listening to me, how about you tell us what a blood diamond is?
I only know it because of the movie.
It's okay.
Like they're holding back diamonds and they're only expensive because they want them to be. And so like the idea is that in Africa there are people, like there are Africans who are kind of forced to be slaves looking for these
useless rocks.
Yeah, looking for diamonds that are like raw diamonds. And that, I guess, that are supposed to be worth something because they can then sell them to the companies.
And buy.
Guns.
And they use the guns too?
Kill each other. But
mostly innocent people and children. Blood diamonds are diamonds that are used to fund civil wars in Africa and other parts of the world. And it happens because diamonds aren't rare. Sorry. They're not valuable. Sorry. They're just shiny rocks. And much like coffee, diamonds are run on a cartel system. There are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of diamonds owned by every diamond company you can think of, and they're stored somewhere special so they can control, it's like OPEC, so they can control the market supply of diamonds so you think they're valuable. They inundate you with ads that diamonds mean love and diamonds mean everything wonderful about life, and then you have to have one. Because if you don't have one when you get married, that's just not right. Because diamonds mean love. But what if instead diamonds mean blood? Would you still buy it if you knew for sure that your diamond came at the cost of some little boy or some little girl, or was being used to fund a civil war in Africa against innocent people? If you knew that you paid 10,000 times the worth for a rock, would you still do it? See some of you laughing, and that's okay. And if you don't know if you would do it, then here's another chance for you to go home and Google blood diamond. Go home and Google the Kimberly process. Go home and find out how you can protect yourself against blood diamonds. Let's talk about something else. What about entertainment? Who knows who Nickelback is? Who hates Nickelback? That's what I thought. Who Fall Out Boy is? Who knows who Linkin Park is? Who knows who Angelina Jolie is? Okay, I'm getting warmer. Now we're going to take another quiz. I'm going to say their name again, and if you think that they care about social justice, I want to see the hands in the air. Who thinks Angelina Jolie really cares about kids in Africa, etc.? Social justice. Is that a maybe? Is that a we're not sure? What about Nickelback? With their song Rockstar, it's a little hard to buy that one, right? But what if I told you that their latest music video was called If Everybody Cared? And it was about the development of the human rights movement around the world. And that all the proceeds of their music video and CD went to nonprofits around the world. Would that change your tune on Nickelback a little? How about Linkin Park? Who thinks Linkin Park cares about social justice? Let me see the hands. Because they do. What if I told you that their latest music video entitled What I've Done is about social justice? And the same thing about Nickelback is true for Linkin Park. Would that change your tune on Linkin Park? What about Fall Out Boy? Who thinks Fall Out Boy cares about social injustice? What if I told you that Fall Out Boy's latest music video was filmed in the Ugandan concentration camps while I was there this summer, and that it just hit MTV on Monday, that they paid all the money themselves to take their band and their musicians and their film people all the way over there to tell the love story of two Ugandan African children torn apart by the Civil War and the night terrors? Would that change your tune on Fall Out Boy? Maybe not. I mean, I'm not saying their music is awesome. Thanks for the memories, right? And what's up with leaving out all the vowels? Okay. Yeah, if you're over 25, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But Fall Out Boy just like refuses to use vowels in the names of their songs. Like, they just leave them all out. It's like a bunch of consonants, and we're supposed to figure out what they mean as if it's some kind of cosmic joke. Well, Fall Out Boy, I don't think that's funny. But at the end of the day, guys, even the people that we support make decisions about their dollars, too. So you've got to ask yourself, if I spend money on a Nickelback CD, if I spent money on a Nickelback CD, the thing, dude, I need like my own personal technician person. That'd be awesome, because class is almost over. If I spent money on a Nickelback CD and it went somewhere, maybe I could listen to their music. Maybe I could tolerate a couple of their songs. I mean, they did lose out to a ringtone in an English chart list, but that's really not the point. Or maybe it is. Not sure. But do you see what I'm getting at? Did any of you guys know that those popular music artists made videos about social justice? Did you? Who knew? A couple of you? Awesome, huh? Who thinks that's awesome? I think it's awesome. And even if I don't like the music, I'm going to buy the CD because it makes me happy. And no, I do not want another version of iTunes. I am sick of new versions of iTunes. What about Kanye West, the rapper? Now, I'm sure as soon as I said rapper, every adult in here was like, I don't think so. How many of you think Kanye West cares about social issues? I'm so proud. Yes, he does. He's got this great music video called... That's right, Diamonds from Sierra Leone. And he's got another one that's called Jesus Walks. And in both of them, he talks about his faith and social justice. And in Diamonds from Sierra Leone, he compares the Rock of Ages to the rock under your hand. And how one shed blood for you, but the other we shed blood for. Does that change your mind on rappers? Some of you? I'm just saying. We need to be a people who votes with our dollars better than we do now. Everything from the music that you listen to the videos that you watch, to the movies that you buy, look at the list, to the books that you read, look at the list, the coffee that you drink, the diamonds on your hand, vote with your dollar. So stay informed, act on what you believe in, vote with your dollar, and what's the last thing that we as a Christian church can do? To be resistors. Anybody? I want to hear yeses. Who thinks the answer is pray? Because I do. Because let me tell you, I will be the last person to tell you that prayer is not a useful tool, because that's a joke. Prayer is your most valuable tool as a Christian resistor. And I'll give you three reasons why. One, because just because you're not in Africa or India or Thailand or Mexico or Honduras doesn't mean somebody else isn't. Somewhere, one of your Christian brothers and sisters is fighting the fight and they need your prayers. They need your protection. Two, because somewhere your Christian brothers and sisters are the ones who need protecting, are the ones who need saving, and your prayers matter. And thirdly, because this is not an easy journey. Remembering the journey is not easy. Sometimes it's hard to not have the same clothes as your friends, or not buy things as often as you want, or to not get a diamond when you really want one, because I'm not going to lie, they're super shiny. Telling your kids that instead of watching whatever Lizzie McGuire movie, that you're going to watch Born into Brothels, that you're going to watch Gandhi, that you're going to watch The Battle of Algiers, that you're going to watch The Last King of Scotland makes you uncomfortable. It's not easy to watch things that are serious and graphic and real when you could just as easily watch Family Guy. Not that Family Guy is not serious or important, because it is, as is South Park. But you see what I mean? Sometimes it's not easy, guys, to not buy your favorite designer or to watch movies that make you want to throw up because they make you really sick. Prayer's the tool. Prayer's the tool that gets you through it all. Prayer's the tool that'll help you pay more, have a tighter budget, wear older jeans, buy better shoes. And prayer's the tool that'll give you the memory of God. Prayer's the tool that'll give you what we talked about that first day. Yes, you may. Right. I'm going to close with a small clip and a paraphrase from Isaiah 58. It's in there. It's in your Bible, too. But basically what happened was Israel was like, excuse me, God, hey, listen. Okay, so I've been asking you for stuff. You totally aren't giving it to me. You're not listening to my prayers, and I want to know what the deal is. Because I've been going to church, I've been tithing, I've been praying, fasting, humbling myself, making sacrifices. I've done everything you asked for. And God said, I'm sorry, did you think that's what I asked you for? You must be mistaken. You bust your Bibles open to Isaiah 58 and you'll see what he says. He says, is this not the fasting I have chosen for you? To release the oppressed, feed the hungry, help the poor, not turn your back on your brothers and sisters. And until you do that, I am not listening to your prayers. So church, I challenge you on this last day, brothers and sisters. Those four things I gave you, I'm not just joking around. I'm being serious. You stay informed. You act on what you believe in. You vote with your dollar. And you pray like you've never prayed before. Because until we as a church are doing these things together, the rest of our worship services don't matter. Because first and foremost, imprinted on the memory of God, as we've already heard, are the meek and the oppressed. And if you don't try, who will? Again, not to say this is the only organization worth investing in, to show you that a multi-million dollar organization saving the lives of children across northern Uganda survives on donations of less than $20 from young people. So like I said at the very first day of class, I'm not asking much. I'm not asking much at all. I will stay here until every last one of you has questions that need to be answered. But class time is over, so if you want to go, you can. But I will stay and answer any questions you may have. There's information here about a number of organizations that are Christian-based that deal with human rights law. If you want information on those, use the packets I gave you and pray for your brothers and sisters in the struggle. And for you students, tomorrow I'm teaching Social Justice Chapel. in which we will watch music videos. That's right, Bible 117. If you're going to get chapel credit, why not for watching music videos? I'm just saying.